to the department because me and Dr. will be there tomorrow, so I won't be available when we're discussing the annual report. He knows what me and him in our other life will be doing tomorrow. So, also, I must apologize for Ms. Amai because she was with me in a dream, so she's also here already. So, we really apologize for coming late, and I also want to welcome other members. The chairperson of the Bank Budget Committee, Honorable Lisa Mabit. I know the issue, I thought I was going to make a statement. I know issues of Guyana and issues of the parliamentary villages, because it's an issue that we will want to engage more, but we see this issue in a very targeted approach to avoid other discussions, and I will plead with members that we focus more on the most important things.
The department.
Oh.
Allow to push. Thank you, Madam Chair.
The department is presenting on behalf of the board.
Yes.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. The department chair of the board.
The chair will listen to us. I'm just saying.
The board as chaired by the DG is presenting.
Oh. Yeah, I thought that MPs were going to take us to the
so speak that board.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And that is why Louis would need to just have an introduction to the members of the board, to other members of the board. And I thought just to quickly indicate to the committee who's accompanying the DG, the group delegation, because it encompasses three positions. My name is Manin Broca, I'm the Director General of Public Works. And my left is Zingin Taruba, the CFO. Manza Mabuza, Chief of Staff in the Minister's Office. Tio Matorera, DDG Asset Management. Jinita Zanini, DDG Habitat Fund Program. Lydia Beatty, DDG Policy in the Office of the DG. And right at the back, of course, Tom Tolera, Elemental Habitat. We have past analysts. We have to Latin Shariban, Chief Director Communication, Mambele, Strategic Management Unit, Babelo Nope is also from the Strategic Management Unit. You must raise your hand. Belinda Damasa, Lamentar Osta, Sir Johnson, our regional manager in Cape Town. Mulisi Kubusi, the Chief Director in the Asset Management Unit, and then Kevin Narasun, Director there in the Asset Management, Florence Rabada, Asset Management, Dr. Swal, DPWP, Michael D. Kingsong, long name, DPW, Michael Lee Kingsong, and then a lawyer from policy, Ronnie Musta. That's the team, Madam. Madam, it is true I am the chair of the parliamentary board, but I've not had that time to actually sit with the board and chair some of the meetings. So what I'm going to ask is that Manda Mabusa will do a just the presentation itself and allow members to interrogate the process. But if you can allow Ndate Baloyi, I'm sure you know the colleagues. I only know my relatives, Ndate Mudisa.
Ndate Richard Baloyi is a member of parliament, is also sitting in the board. Then Ndate Ulele Mudisenyani is also a member of the board. And Lisa Mabi is a member of the board. Ndate Huang is a member of the committee. Majoris, the one is a member of the committee, the whip of the committee. Ndate Matnagma, also a member of the committee, and Ndate Mabudali is a member of the committee. Then Amotama is also a member of the committee. And then we've got our special. Well, I'm not sure who knows who they are.
We are all in this.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am. Can we allow Manda Mabuta to take up the presentation?
Thanks, Chairperson, members of the board, the members of the portfolio committee, ladies and gentlemen. The approach that we will take to make this presentation will be to deal firstly with the review of the Parliamentary Village Board Act. We will then deal also with the refurbishment of the accommodation units in parliamentary villages. We will then proceed to reflect on what is called the Graf Trust restrictive condition on the title deed that governs the particular village. And then we'll then conclude by dealing with the discussions on scenarios for the relocation of members of parliament, and then we'll conclude on that point. Chairperson, the Parliamentary Village Board came as a result of Act 96 of 1998. In the main, this act sought to give the Minister of Public Works a particular responsibility to provide certain essentials to the members of Parliament. So it is an Act of Parliament which governs certain provisions or provisions of services to members of Parliament by the, in particular, the Minister of Public Works and in general, the Department of Public Works. The first procedural issue is that the board had four board meetings during 2006-2007. I must also indicate, Chairperson, that the composition of board in terms of the act is that it consists of the Director General of Public Works, three residencies, of whom two shall be members of Parliament, and then the Chairperson of the Residence Committee. In terms of the Act, and this is a matter that when I think we discuss, we should be able to reflect on. In terms of the Act, these members are appointed by the Minister of Public Works. Now, at a particular point, we would like to believe when we talk about possible scenarios of roles and functions, we need to take into consideration that the current status quo defines the composition of the board as appointed by the Minister of Public Works. The point that we also would like to make here is that in June, there was a workshop that was held by the board to look at various interpretations of this act. It is an act of 1998 and it is 2007 now. It is possible to argue that there are a number of developments and tendencies which may warrant the review or the repeal of the board that governs, the act that governs the board. And the September board meeting recommended the option of repealing the act and that the board be de-established. Now, we need to just briefly reflect on this. Why there are these debates of repealing the act, why there are these debates of the possible de-establishment of the thing. I've indicated that in the first instance, the board is appointed by the Minister of Public Works. In the second instance, the particular explicit responsibility of the Minister of Public Works in terms of this act, it is to provide transport to members of Parliament. If you were to look at read the act in its entirety, you will then conclude that the specific function that imposes an obligation on the Minister of Public Works is around the provision of transport. The other function says in terms of the act that the Minister of Public Works may. So there is an option in terms of what you do there. So therefore, it is important, we would like to believe, that we have discussions around the content of the act, which will then focus on, amongst others, its composition, roles and functions, and so forth and so forth. In terms of the review of the Parliamentary Board Act, the first point we'd like to make is that the board is currently in the process of discussing interim arrangements, aspects such as governance issues, and so forth and so forth. The first point you have made, Chair, when you said, is it not the board that will make a presentation, is a manifestation of this tendency to say that the board functions as a result of it being accountable to the Minister of Public Works. One important question that then arises is what should it be the function, who should be members of the board? Should it be empty? Should it be officials of the department? Should it be both? Or should it be somebody else? So the whole issue of the roles and functions becomes it becomes an important matter that we would like to believe should be discussed as a matter of agency. We also wish to submit, Chair, that there is a process to brief the Minister of Public Works about the recommendations. There are certain recommendations that are currently being considered around the repeal of the Act and so forth and so forth. The Minister of Public Works is therefore going to be appraised around this process. So that once all our principals are appraised, referring to the members of the Portfolio Committee, the parliamentary structures, and the Minister of Public Works, once there is an agreement in terms of the way forward, both in terms of form and content, the roles and relationship between the department, the parliament, and any institutional arrangement that we may come to agree on or to determine, we are then in a position to say that decision was not taken by one structure, but rather it is a decision that was taken by to whom it may concern. The way forward, therefore, will be discussed in the next meeting. As I said, Chair, that currently there are these scenarios that are being considered. Would like to believe that the department has got no intention to resolve on one scenario on its own without a consultation of to whom it may concern. These are decisions that will be taken in the first instance by the board and in the second instance by all the structures in Parliament, the guidance of the Portfolio Committee, the department, and the Minister of Public Works. We'll then proceed, Chair, to reflect briefly on the status quo with regards to the refurbishment of accommodation units. There are 289 units that are currently being completed. In Akasha Park is 203, in Laboria Park is 31, and at the Pelican Park is 52 houses. And in terms of the work in progress, in Akasha Park there is one unit that is outstanding. At Laboria Park is 4 houses, and at the Pelican Park is 7 houses. And the conclusion with regards to that is that there is no outstanding house in Akasha Park to be refurbished. 27 are left at Laboria Park and 9 houses left at Pelican Park. We must mention one point here, Chair, that one of the challenges that we have noticed is around access to houses, to this house. You will find that we are in a position as a department to intervene and say we would like to refurbish a particular house. But the problem of access, it becomes a challenge wherein a member is either not at a village or there are a number of challenges that detain us. We therefore would like to submit, Chair, that that's one matter that we'll have to consider as we discuss the issue of the refurbishment. The total cost for the refurbishment to date with regard to complete refurbishment is about 66 million, and the total cost on interior decorating to date is about 24 million. These fees are applicable to all the three parks, not only one park. One of the, just to reflect on few brief analysis with regards to some of the challenges that we face as a department with dealing with a park. The first point to mention is that Akasha Park was acquired during the World War, in the aftermath of the World War II, yes. From what was called Graf Trust. This Graf Trust was created after the death of a gentleman called Sir De Villiers Graf. And the then authorities decided to, in honor of such a gentleman, create a trust that is called the Graf Trust. And this was a trust, therefore, that was responsible for Akasha Park. There was a particular restrictive condition that indicated that the land must be used for defense purposes or as a civil aerodrome only. Now, The other challenge that we've mentioned, or rather identified with regards to Acacia Park, is around the challenges on electricity and water service interruption. But also that the department had intended to invest substantial capital funds. But the problem is that you cannot invest substantial capital funds which will change the configuration of the park without saying something around the restrictive conditions that govern the park. So at the time, the department was faced with the challenge to say that you need to address certain challenges of the disruption of water and electricity in the park, but you can't do that because there's law that governs the park. And unless you deal with that law, these restrictive conditions, you won't be able to invest anything there. The department therefore sought a legal opinion from senior counsel, and the legal opinion was very clear and emphatic that the trust has the right to exercise preemptive rights or to be compensated appropriately if the land is used for different purposes. The department therefore considered two options. Let's say we take a decision to say we cannot afford this appropriate compensation. We then conducted an investment analysis by the department, and then the investment analysis concluded by saying that the relocation from Acacia Park will cost the department between 300 and 350 million. And there was also an independent evaluation that was conducted and indicated that the market value of the land and improvement will be about 142 million, and with respect to the land only, it will be about 125 million. Well, then the department then discussed this particular options, this investment analysis, to say what, as of then, what would be the amicable solution? You are faced with the first challenge of saying, how do you invest to improve the standard of living in an area where members of parliament are staying? Secondly, even if you want to make that improvement, it will not materialize unless you respond to this restrictive condition that is imposed by the Khrapshan. And you don't have a way forward by then. What do you do then? The department therefore took a decision to say we need to engage or propose a settlement to deal with this restrictive condition. And an amount of 110 million was therefore agreed upon on the 22nd of March 2006. I'm saying that was then. Okay. We've mentioned this thing that the members of parliament and sessional officials are the ones who stay there and so forth and so forth. There was a debate, therefore, Honorable Chairperson, to say, are there possibilities or not to do something about the villages or the park? And this year in 2007, we had discussions with in particular, the Secretary to Parliament. And the department was therefore requested to investigate two options. The first option is what you could call the possible relocation of members of Parliament to Central Cape Town as the first option. The second option is to relocate the other two villages into Acacia Park and then maintain Acacia Park as a central village for members of parliament. Those are the two options that were requested to recommend. We must therefore indicate, Chair, that there is no conclusion as of now by the department, both in terms of what are the final analysis of this investigation, and secondly, as to what is the view of the department with regards to the two options. All what we can say is that we'd like to submit that upon completion of this investigation, which will take into consideration socioeconomic factors, take into consideration the views of members of parliament, take into consideration, because we must indicate that there are also other exogenous factors which influence or rather motivate these possible scenarios or possible options, and we therefore want to investigate all those things comprehensively. Once we then conclude this investment analysis or rather this investigation, we'd like to come back to portfolio committee and say to portfolio committee, this is the mandate that we're given on the matter of possible relocation of MPs or not. In the first instance, we'll then want to say to portfolio committee members, what, in your view, should be some of the terms of reference that we should consider as a department, so that when we come back to report to you, we'll be able to say we've agreed on the following terms of reference, both as a department and yourself, and on the basis of our investigation, this is the report that we'd like to give you. Is it feasible to relocate members of parliament or not? If not, why? If yes, to what extent, where, geographic location, and so forth. And secondly, if it is not possible, should we consider the option of relocating the other two villages to Akashia Park? If yes, why? And if not, why? We'd like to provide members of parliament, Chairperson, with this particular analysis so that you yourself should then be in a position to say, from where you are sitting, these are your views with regards to this particular two scenarios. Or you neither accept scenario one or two, but rather propose scenario three. These are decisions that once we conclude the investigation and the report, we would like to come back to the members of parliament, portfolio committee, and all structures concerned to present this particular report. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Madam Chair, I'm just trying to check with the Vice Chair whether you want to add or subtract, or are you comfortable with the presentation?
Thank you. Chairperson, thanks. As a board, the structure created in terms of the Act, we were supposed to receive submission, one from Parliament, the other one from the Department of Public Works, and that is still to come. More especially in as far as the possible scenario is concerned. Let me state that the Parliament briefed the quarterly consultative forum on the option of considering the possibility of moving MPs to Central Africa. And that Parliament also briefed the Chief Whip Forum, which is a multi-party structure, about the same thing. Now, Parliament is still to brief the board, and I need to stress that if the board is to exist for what it ought to, things will be processed at that level, and then consultation will be coordinated through that very process. I'm stressing this, Chairperson, because it is clear that there is this meeting that is referred to on the 21st of February where the two options were considered. We want to believe that that was a meeting, you know, it's something like you can say the talks about talks. It can't be an issue that you can say that meeting considered these two options without having given the board an opportunity to air its view. So that meeting will still take place, even if it took place before, it will still have to meet. The board, as the report states here, the board is still to meet. It was just that, you know, these changes, sometimes they are good, but at times you find that you don't keep pace with development. Actually, as a deputy chairperson of the board, I'm meeting my chairperson for the first time.
You
have to be
elected. This
other name is elected. I know. And it's related to my chief. So I think it's fine. What we're then saying is that I think the board will have to move with speech, because there is this option that Parliament is entertaining. Which option the chairperson and the chair of the board, which option we would like to express our view on? The quarterly consultative forum, when Parliament briefed them on this issue, raised serious issues about this option of putting MPs in place in Taiwan. It is an option that has been considered. Unfortunately, we could not say anything ourselves because Parliament did not have an opportunity to brief the board. Even at the Chief Whip Forum, which seemed to be so much interested, the multi-party Chief Whip Forum. But honestly speaking, we could not be helpful at that meeting because we don't have this presentation. The option of a centralizing accommodation of members in the party is one that was hinted at one of our meetings. To then say the Department of Public Works will actually come and make a presentation. But we'll still receive that presentation. And then I think we'll then be in a position to do that. I'm raising this thing, Chairperson, because it's necessary that as we deal with consultation, it's better that we get coordination. Because if we're not, then it becomes a serious challenge. Okay. But largely, the report actually covers most of the things that are happening.
On the issue of the refurbishment, at the moment in Acacia Park, we have new three members who are temporarily accommodated in flat. And the public works wanted to put them in house if we shall not refurbish and I refused. I said, no, all members must receive equal treatment. And then I was told it is because there's no money for that. And then I said, if there's no money, then something must be done that those houses must be refurbished. Because the members must reside in houses which are similar to houses in which other members are accommodated. And now I'm surprised to hear that the houses are all refurbished in a greater part. Then I don't understand where that information was got.
Yeah, honorable members and our guests, before we start to discuss the meat of our issue here, I first want to ask you some principles. The first principle is that the board will have to meet as well as the expert. And the chair will have to share. So at least have to unlock some of the issues. I think within the board will establish at what point you meet and how many times you meet. But it will be of importance that the board meet and make sure it's able to do it in part of it. Two is to consider what is being presented now. Part of the presentation is to look at the act in its current form, whether it's assisting us or whether we need to make changes. And part of the thing that has been raised is that in terms of the act, the minister appoints the board member. Before I should actually welcome the deputy leader and the leadership to welcome to the meeting. So I think that is the issue of the parliamentarism. Yeah. Two is to look at the suggestion to either to repeal the act or to keep the act as it stands. Some of these discussions we might not exhaust today and now, but it's issues that we need to figure out for discussion. And the other proposal is the re-establishment of the board itself. I think we want to get that proposal. Also to address the legal ambiguity in relation to funding. Because Manda has made an example where there's many, that reason, a serious legal ambiguity, because legal terms do not necessarily may or may not happen. So there are lawyers that I hear to that the gentleman over there in the lawyer who will help us. I don't know. Now they are pointing each other. I don't know. They are pointing at each other like this. I don't know who the lawyer is. But we'll need to deal with the legal jargon and the act itself for the figure.
Just what I asked. I am a lawyer myself.
I know. Yeah. will also look at the composition of the board itself. Now, issue that we might want to discuss today is the issue of the replenishment, the reallocation, the proposal, and look at the issues of the time frame in terms of the liquidity. Because when Manda talks about investigating the possibilities and the situations that have been taken, what came to my mind was, what are the time frames? Because research cannot be R&D forever. We need to find a point at which we say these and proposals need to be changed. And now I was thinking in economic terms, we're in the middle of the term, Manda. So these things which I can't figure them out in terms of financial education, I don't know, then we'll take it to an economic course very quickly and see whatever that we propose, is it going to be meeting this empty budget sample or are we thinking about something? But we need not give empty the hope when it's not just something, but unless if there's a special account that we get, I don't want to speak about this issue now, but I'm just throwing ideas for us to look at the financial implications of whatever decision that we make at the end of the day. That's one thing. So those are the issues. But I also need to stress the importance of making sure that the board itself moves in the same direction. And it should be the board that is able to advise both these two institutions, namely Parliament and the Department of Automatic. So for now, I will take it for granted that there is no proposition in front of us. Therefore, we're discussing from now, I will assume. Mm-hmm. So before I give members to respond to the discussion, and I know that they will want to look at analytical issues, and I will therefore indulge DG when that opportunity comes, because members will make a reflection of their own lives, because they happen to be entities who are signing this up. So I therefore indulge if that comes. I'm going to allow both the DG and the DG chair just to summarize on what I have just noted that should for discussion, and then we move on.
Chair, I just wish to confirm that I'm not so sure from the Vice Chairperson, but I do know that on my diary, the plenary meeting was the 23rd, which is next Tuesday. And the reason why I allowed Manda to present and why I allowed the Chair to present is precisely because of that. I was hoping that we're going to have a meeting prior to coming to this committee and to prepare certain things around what we need to do. And I also need to confirm that yes, I will be chairing all board meetings in future. However, just to indicate that some of the issues raised are issues which Public Works Health Department handles, and that's why there's that confusion. Even for the reference made to Cashier Park and the refurbishment there, whether money is available or not, I know for a fact as the accounting officer that money is available, and I'm seated next to the CFO. And those are some of the things that we've talked about. So I would rather propose to the committee that we shall, if there are going to be discussions now, we'll treat those as inputs that will inform the meeting when the board meets on Tuesday. And that meeting will take place.
Thank you, DG.
I agree with the DG. In fact, we should agree that we attach a status of this report to say it's a progress report, I mean, to say where are we. But in terms of approaching the portfolio committee to seek the portfolio committee's advice and directive on some of the recommendations, the board will only come when it is ready. And as the DG has indicated, the board is not ready now. But it's then to say this is how far we have gone, what we need, where are we in terms of some of the issues. But maybe what we may then do, arising from this report, which gives us sort of a status report, is a question of, because you see, the Department of Public Works has two roles in as far as the issues of the parliamentary committee is concerned. They are part of the board, but they are a service provider. When you look at maintenance of houses, it is them. When you look at the question of transport and everything, it is them. So if there are challenges related to that aspect of being a service provider, they are responsible not as part of the board, but they are responsible as public works. So I think it, like for instance, if there are issues that at the moment from the retreatment as Madame Chair indicated, I think we may want to engage the department at this meeting. And if there are issues related to other areas, say for instance accommodation and any other things that are not policy issues, because that will lead to the board to handle. But issues that are too operational, I think we may be in a position to engage, in which case some of us would put down one of our steps of being deputy chairperson and a member of the board and become a member of parliament and then address it if need be. But I fully agree with the DG that we need to meet as a board. Actually, that meeting was supposed to have taken place yesterday. It's long overdue.
Thank you, Chair. As I have indicated, those few points that I said we will not discuss now, we will discuss later. It means to assure with them for the board to go back and come back.
Right.
But issues, operational issues, we are going to ignore. In actual fact, I thought the gentleman called today was going to be here also. I don't know. I thought he was going to be here because many of the questions will go to him, to his members. But let me do this. Let me allow members to speak. And then we issues from that point of view. All the other little issues will come back. So will that stipulate at which point we expect the board to reappear in front of the committee to make a presentation after you have coherently discussed and made a proposal to us? We also want to see the chair of the committee try to engage parliament to understand what it's thinking, because I can't assume a situation where parliament and the portfolio committee as a component of parliament hold two different views because of lack of consultation. So I think we'll try to also engage parliament. On the other hand, for us to discuss. So let me allow Dr. Martin.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, one welcomes this report. As presented by Dr. Murray on behalf of the department. But there are also some clarity that one would like to see. First is the question of the outstanding taking six houses. In his presentation, he cited one of the challenges that of the inavailability of members when some of the houses are not in the public. And the question will be that is whether the fact that there are still 56 houses in this because of that on the other are indigenous, etc. The other thing, Chairperson, on this question of relocating this worship. One would recall that when we started this committee in 2004, this was one of the suggestions that was raised by the committee, that the district department, given what then was this challenge of the this clause, that this perhaps the department needs to at least look at options that will be presented to the community. Subsequently, we heard that this clause now, the department paid 110 million. And that was not something that as a community were thoroughly taken through. Now, the two options now are back. And you begin to ask a question as to whether perhaps in terms of these options, has there any thought around the money that has been spent already, so that when you look at the, especially the relocation of the town, one would also be taken on board in terms of the expenses that are already incurred in terms of the process itself to deal with the clause. Because one would assume that at least the department has already spent at least this amount of money with the view of taking part of the party itself in terms of the authority. And therefore, to what extent, therefore, would they be able to assist us in terms of making companies, in terms of this in Africa innovation process, if it does take place? I think this will stop there for a while.
Thank you very much.
I know that members of parliament, because this thing affects them, and it is really something that becomes of interest as well, because the experience program stages. Chairperson, I'm interested in the review of this parliamentary board. It also talks about trust governance mechanisms and an accommodation of allocation policy. Even beforehand, I want to say, I'm not saying that case apart, but I know that the issue of allocation policy was raised because there were certain senior members of parliament who were interested in certain debating in the past. Whatever we do, we must leave the respect of membership, members of the of parliament as members of parliament. To me, that's very, very important. I've seen an issue where now these parts are going to be a mix of everybody. I think we must avoid losing the respect of members of parliament and any other staff. I feel that people who decide to come and work in Cape Town, if I decide to go and stay in Joburg, I'm expected to find a place for myself in Joburg and not for the employer to find for me. I'm just raising that because I think at the end, this is actually going to mean that. And perhaps if that is the case, I think when we look at this policy and accommodation, really, we need to do take members of parliament out and then see what to do with other staff. Perhaps there was a reason why sessional workers, because at the time there were 6 months in Cape Town and 6 months in Pretoria. But the scenario is different now. It's not like in those olden days, you know, it's week here, you know, days there, days there. So what I'm saying is that when we begin to look at that policy, we must realize that we talk about members of parliament. And in many, many cases, people who make such suggestions are themselves not saying in Acacia Park or Laboria Park, but somewhere. So I'm saying the respect of members of parliament is very important here. While we think the allocation policy should be changed, it must be in favor, number one, of members of parliament. I'm raising that. The second one is what Comrade Matuma was raising. I hear Comrade Manga is now articulating the whole thing about why he paid the 110. But I still feel that all these years we had an understanding that Acacia Park belongs to government. And all of a sudden, 110 might have been reduced from 350 million, but it is still a lot of money, quite a chunk of money, in fact. You get that amount only to repeal a certain, you know, condition, really. And perhaps we still think, well, it's water under the bridge now. We could have maybe at that time decided whether we want to move or not and really, I'm not sure, I don't know, I did not do the research, but maybe it would not have reached the 350 million. The other issue that I would like to raise as well here is the issue of these options that are put. I see they are quite very attractive, and perhaps I think Manga is saying there's going to be some work done around and looking which option is suitable, but we have to look at the option that is going to be less costly, that is going to allow members of parliament to be able to do their work correctly in the right environment. Members of parliament, we've got to make sure that, you know, this is the environment for members of parliament, and it is conducive for the kind of work they are doing, and the kind of respect really they need to be given as a particular institution.
Thank you very much. I tried very hard for us to avoid discussing policy issues that they find a way of coming out. But first, I need maybe to clarify for the honorable member. In actual fact, the actual expenditure was some 10 million based on this document. I made a quick calculation. Basically, the land and improvement is about 27 million. So the department made quite a saving for negotiating for a lesser settlement. So you need to look at the documentation because the 250 million was based on the study conducted. So the actual fee that spent. But I think we need to call regulators to be able to discuss such a low statement. But we don't know why. Maybe people realize that actually the building and the land itself will not be of use, given the circumstances that have changed from the initial investment in the land. Because what we intended at that time might be different. So we need to be properly that we need to know whether we need to defend or we need to keep at each opportunity cost that it comes. And that's what we need to engage like to say, if we say we're keeping it, what are the benefits? If we let it go, what are the issues? We will have to be the issues. But let me give Honorable Mabi an opportunity.
Yeah, thanks, I hope I'll be seen, but I don't think I'll be seen what is required for us. Firstly, I think it's very important that the department must see the finalization of the asset. Because this is a rough shot. You know, I'm speaking as a member of family. It becomes a problem when you find that the defense, an asset that you think, the state asset, is accommodated for, suddenly it's private, it's in a private trust, that becomes national. And basing again on the fact that, because you don't know what belongs to government, those who know, they take advantage and quickly transact into their own name so that they can benefit out of things. Which would therefore even say the trust, I mean even the 110, is not even qualified. If we can trace back what has happened, that finally it blends into the trust. So I'm just saying this is, we need to look at it as we need to look beyond what is being presented to us by the trust. Secondly, I just want to say, put it on record that as the board, the portfolio committee must know that we've been raising concerns about quality of the refurbishment that is done in villages. And improvement is not certificate. We have raised it. And I think the department needs to take us put it in order so that there won't be concerns as regular. I wouldn't want even the meeting to go into details because I know that it's possible that members, if they can start talking about what they're doing there, it will delay the meeting. But I'm just saying this is important that the quality of work that is done should be considered so that as public work, that is working as a field. We know it will be easy for us as we do our oversight function. We don't even start with the members of parliament today. And I just want to say, Chairperson, we will need to really keep the board answering in terms of finalizing, because we have looked into the SPS, and it's the board that came up with this proposal of different ways of dealing with the SPS that is long overdue. So maybe the committee must be the board time for the by this period. We ought to have at least finalized the process.
Thank you very much for the discussion.
For clarity, I think maybe the department can just clear our minds on that 110 million. We because the way we understood it in the first meeting that we had some time ago with some members of the board and the department actually, I understood it as we were playing actually to change the friction. And it has nothing to do with the value of the property at that stage. Or maybe if we can just get that as well.
Just on the issue of, I'll allow both the CFO and Manda to touch on certain other questions, but on the issue of refurbishment in those areas, in all the parts, that we are guided by certain guidelines. And it is obviously the prerogative of each member of parliament to indicate that the department has deviated from those guidelines in providing either the movable assets that go with it when doing refurbishment. And in such instances, we can, I mean, there's a rule, there's rules and guidelines regarding that, and we can take that one up. It certainly does not help if in the past there have been complaints, but perhaps they were channeled wrongly. So perhaps what we will do as a department is to go back and have a way of ensuring that MPs are able to register a concern. And in doing so, they are able to indicate areas of deviation and ask for the intervention of the department. And we will accordingly attend to that. Did you or the deviation, the 110?
Yes, sir. If we give the historical context to this house of parliament, as Martha was saying earlier, when this piece of land was donated to the state, there was a restrictive condition that could be used for defense purposes as well as the aerodrome. And this was long come up because he took interest on the timing of the donation that took place after the Second World War. But then we found ourselves in a situation where the current trustee took issue with the fact that instead of using the facility as a defense facility, now the parks are there. Naturally, we had to do a cost-benefit analysis to say, here is 110 million that will extricate the state from this restrictive condition. And here is the 300 to 350 million scenario. If then the state reverts the property to the taxes of the capital. So from the department analysis, it made sense to settle for the 110 million to extricate the state from those restrictions. So it should be seen in that context. But can I say you kept it very well because you that of your the way you explained it as well. Really, that's how the 110 million. It was a settlement to extricate the state from the restrictive conditions, and naturally, it was the construction of the park there is something that has done a long time ago. And that oversight really could be attributed to the administration.
Thanks, DG. Thanks, Chair.
I would want to share the indication from members that if you want us to revert into a discussion of how the discussion is to occur officially at the parliament, I don't think we'll be able to absorb that issue now. I don't think we'll be able to. So, I rather want us to look at policy issues and issues that are going to affect our citizens of the future of the country. Hence, I think that's why I want the board to engage. Let us engage ourselves so that when we meet again at the council, we listen to the proposals, we look at what we are proposing, and that we find each other. I don't know whether you agree with me when I say that, honorable member, but let's look at why this was not. Let's look at the things that have been tabled to us now, the current data, what is the future? So, in terms of us continuing to utilize it, and going to the future, looking to other proposals. I think we should take that approach, if you agree.
Thank you, Chairperson. I fully agree for the former chair, your suggestion. I think that today we can discuss in more detail. Even there is a presentation inside show to the this option. We didn't see the option, this view is where is the move to the Cape Town Century, where was the flag and where it showed to the MP. Because now from this, it is three parts. Existing part, you spend a lot of money, 66 million rand. So you make a proposal for the move to the this option, or even the other two parts come to the Acacia Park or the one part. Then with this committee, we need more the information in the next meeting. So we can see if what option you want to move this one go to the Cape Town downtown area. Then which for the view show to the MP. So we can make our own concern. Say if we from these three parts move to the park, so what is benefit? Number one, you say the transport is quite easy. Then there is too many things that we so much show to the committee. And also this 110 million, we don't know clear nicely. Because you want to relocate for the 300 to 350 million rent for to the relocate to the Asia Park. I think quite a lot of questions we don't need for next time for meeting I can make. So
let me give to Mr. Mabuza to continue where we. But I think we've noted that we will have all the processes where I think we say it's one of the heads in our previous party. We call them applicants who are looking for them.
Sure, just before you allow Mr. Mabuza, can I make a suggestion that perhaps we commit ourselves that we need a support on the same thing. And we come back to this committee at least before we close. Perhaps we say within the next 3 to 4 weeks after that meeting. And we treat all the proposals that are here and everything they need to do. That's what I thought would be the best way of doing it. Instead of otherwise something will be prepared from the other and look like on the other. Thank you, Chair. Just to start with the last observation, that is correct, Chair. I think the sooner the board in particular and the department agrees on these guidelines, the better. Because the guidelines will then define what constitutes quality. What are the minimum standards of quality? What kind of furniture do you give an MP? What kind of furniture do you give the minister, and so forth and so forth. But the sooner we finish guidelines, the better. The second part observation that was made, Chair, which also has got a policy implication, is around the issue of who is accommodated in the villages, who should be accommodated in the villages, who ought to be accommodated in the villages. The status quo in terms of the Act of 1998 says that parliamentary villages means Acacia Park, Laboria Park, Pelican Park, and any other place of accommodation for parliamentarians and sessional officials declared as such by the minister. This is a status quo. The meeting may decide, either the board or parliament, whatever, may decide to say no, but you need to change this. You must only say members of parliament must stay there. But that is a scenario, therefore, that as the chair is guided, is something that then the board will have to contemplate and guide us in terms of who ought to be staying at the parliamentary village.
Actually, the board cannot change the law. If they need to be an amendment, that piece of legislation, the parliament must actually vote for. So the board cannot consider whether it needs to take out official, personal.
100%, yeah.
So, hence I'm saying, let's look at this issue, even though we are still meeting. Because we're already preempting what's going to be the discussion for the board, point number one. Two, we already want to speak on issues that we need to make a proposal to the board, including us reviewing whether we achieved what we wanted to achieve with this piece of legislation. If not, what are the challenges and how can we improve? Now I'm talking of Parliament. Who made this piece of legislation? So I know the presentation. I did say I would check for indulgence because they find a way of cutting out. Because you're talking about the members. So, but let's look at that. Let's just try to lead our discussion into going back to the drawing board and looking into this matter.
No, thanks. We thought that we should clarify the status quo. And then the last question is around the issue of three members who are whose houses have not been refurbished. We can make a commitment that, to the best of our knowledge, houses have been completed in Acacia Park. And if there are members, the three members are mentioning, to make an undertaking to investigate this matter immediately after this completion. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Chair, just for record as well, I intend visiting all those parts prior to the meeting, so that when discussions are taken, one of them, many years ago, so I intend revisiting them.
And also the issue of the guidelines, I would want us to make a proposal in terms of the time framework for the board to meet for us to reconvene here, because we need to do that before you arrive. And if I look at the calendar, let's basically about 2 or 4 weeks. I think we're by 4 weeks now, but we have the time about 3 weeks. So basically, within that time frame, if the board can meet.
You're meeting on Tuesday.
On Tuesday, it's easier for us, then we can 7 days down the line, because. On a different day, of course, on the agenda, given our program to reconvene. So I would advise strongly that from the level of ourselves, to quickly meet with Parliament, have a discussion, and then we come back. We agree with this,
folks? Agree.
Thank you very much. Then this brings us to the end of the discussion on this matter. So the picture that you are smiling, I like it. There is progress. So very much. Let's move then to the next agenda item. I also need to be advised, because three chairs in my office and other is part of the duty. And then something else happened. So we're going to discuss the issue of the National Insurance Program. And on the other hand, I also try not to be subjective on this matter. I'll try my best not to speak to the people that we want to say. But I know those people that are not.
So are we still going to try and do all three presentations within the next 30 minutes? The reason why I'm asking...
We're scheduled to sit until after lunch.
You're scheduled to sit 9 to 1, so it's now 11 to 3.
And then we
It's 11 to 1.
Yeah, thank you.
Good.
2 until 4.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay. No, there's a teaching. No. No, it's 11 to 1, Chair. Chair, the reason why I'm...
So we'll go to the sitting, but we'll try to...
Okay. The reason why I'm asking, Chair, is because the NYS is certain developments since the last presentation. The AMA bill is the same. And the asset management is on the issue of, we're going to touch on the process leading to the updating of the asset management. So that's why I was looking at the time that would be okay, save for the chair, that in instances where from the presentation I should be presented previously to the committee, that I allow the presenter to skip those and go just to the nitty-gritty. And perhaps if it's possible, to ask the committee that we do a quick NYS presentation, a quick IAMA presentation, a quick asset management presentation, and then you come back to our questions. Members and notes. If
you agree on what we mean by the approach that all the three presentations are made at once, I don't know whether we do that in 30 minutes. and then we wait for them. Because the issue here is that we will not be able to use the restaurant beyond the lunch time. What is the problem? Let me hear our.
So we should
have one. We should have one now and then.
Okay. It will be NYS. Michael and Dr. Collins will do the presentation. But the DDG is here, he introduced the team. He came in with the Bongani tradition.
Well, good day, Honorable Member. As the PG has already indicated, the paper from the CWC unit, the NYS is located within the CWC unit. I will ask Mr. Collins, who is the Director for National Research, to lead this presentation, and then we'll support the discussion.
Thank you for the opportunity to make the presentation. I know that you are talking about the media. You might be able to leave your impression for the talk.
Please don't continue this out.
I won't make a difference. And I'm happy that I'm doing this presentation, but I'm also running a program because I have a passion for this. The National Youth Service is a government program that was conveyed through the White Paper, which means that it's an official program of government. It is expected that all the state departments are supposed to participate in the national service program. The program is intended to mobilize youth into productive work, while at the same time acquiring skills to increase their employability. It seeks to foster integration among the youth and imbue them with the spirit of volunteerism to serve their community. It seeks to engender patriotism among young people and to make them loyal to the state and the people of South Africa. The National Youth Service Program in the Department of Public Works is a response to the State of the Nation address this year, in which President Biden committed the Department to engage 5,000 young people into government building, construction, rehabilitation and maintenance projects as part of the development and job creation. That was done because it was necessary that the government needs to respond to the conditions of young people, particularly the issues of unemployment and lack of skills. We had, as a department, decided that we needed to place the program in the EPWC, particularly because the EPWC emphasizes the issue of intensive labor methods, which assist us, or one or the other, they assist us to create jobs, but at the same time ensure that people are able to acquire skills. The advantage of the boom that is taking place in the construction industry, but also thought that we needed to address the key issue of the lack of required skills in the construction sector. Part of one of the issues that are very imminent in that area is the shortage of artisans in the building environment. And we thought that as part of our contribution to build the confidence or creating a capacity in the built environment, we needed to address ourselves to that issue of skills acquisition. Again, with the fact that almost all the state departments have been requested that they need to make a contribution into the issue of job creation. department as announced by the president. Chapter 5, that program of building construction that has been taken initially for NYS. The department has committed itself, besides the 5,000 that the president announced in the state of the nation address, that the national department will take the 5,000 number as a whole, as a target number that the department will work toward achieving for the financial year 2007 and 2008.
And at that point, the last bullet will have to be corrected, if that's what you mean, because it says 500 to make the target of 10,000.
No, I'll explain what it means. In the MINMEC, there was an agreement reached between the minister and the MEC of Provincial Department of Public Works that in a whole we would seek to reach a target of 10,000, increasing the 5,000 that the president announced with another 5,000 so that we have 10,000.
That's still correct.
So,
including the 5,000 with the 500, or with the 5,000?
Yes. So, what it means is that each province will recruit 500 young people, so that it makes up into the 5,000 and then we have 10,000. The overall program objectives are such that we wanted to ensure that young people develop an understanding, they also acquire skills, and that they also have an aspiration for working in the building environment. We have also engaged in a discussion to ensure that we have exit strategies that makes it possible that all those young people who enroll in the program do not get lost with the skills that they have acquired. The department is committed to tell that we would recruit 10% of the target that we have achieved into the structure of the department. So we would be employing the 10% artisans that we have produced in the program into the department as a state employee. We are also engaging with the private sector to ensure that the private sector absorbs some of them. We are also hoping that the other spheres of government will come handy and absorb some of these young people. We are also making a commitment to ensure that we assist these young people to develop them into entrepreneurs or develop cooperatives. So that we are able to use them when there is a need in both the public and the private sector. We are also making a commitment that among those young people, those who are interested in furthering their studies, the department will make an allocation of a certain amount of money for bursaries so that they can go and pursue the studies. The target groups are the unemployed youth aged between 18 to 35, but importantly, those who are interested in the building environment. We also ensure that we recruit the youth that are closer to the project, because we want to ensure the spread of our project, but also to ensure that all those projects that we take up in certain areas, they have an impact that they make, in as far as the issue of unemployment is concerned. We are also intending to have to deal with the issue that has to do with the graduates, the unemployed graduates and the dropouts, particularly those who have acquired the skills in the area that of construction. Our recruitment strategy is that we emphasize very much the decentralization of the recruitment program. We do it through our regional offices, and we also engage the councillors and several of the youth organizations in different localities to ensure that there's a great understanding of the program, but also to make sure that we raise the bar in terms of the knowledge among the youth that this kind of a program is taking place. we're emphasizing that an open advertisement in terms of our customers. But at the same time, we also use the existing databases that that we have through the youth commissions and the Institute of Youth Fund and the Labor Center in the Parliament of Labor. So ensure that a majority of young people have access to this information. We put advertisements through posters and radio. We conduct recruiting sessions in the local communities when we have advertised so that we are able to give a much more bigger greeting to young people so that they understand what the program is about. Young people, when they, we also give them the application form so that immediately from the greeting session, they could give us an indication of whether they are interested to enroll in the program. We also do, after that we do the shortlisting, and then successful candidates are called for an assessment, which is conducted by the Department of Labor. The assessment is done in order to check the level of literacy and numeracy among the people, because some of them are those who dropped out at an earlier stage in the school environment. But also, we think that it's important that we need to understand, so that even in terms of how we're going to start our program, we put a program that is able to address the level of literacy and numeracy. Before the young people start with the program, they go through the induction program that is conducted by the National Youth Service Unit. It's done to ensure that they are made to understand and also to live with the principles that the white paper describes the National Youth Service Program, the National Youth Service Program, that they need to understand the national colors, the coat of arms. They need to also understand that the program is not only just for them to get the technical skills in artisanship, but also to understand that they have a community responsibility. After the completion of the industry, this youth take a pledge. They pledge their commitment and their loyalty to the program, but also to ensure that we record them in the system, so that we know among the youth of South Africa who are those that have gone through the National Youth Service Program. These are the documentations that we require when at application level. We require them to bring the ID, the South African ID document, and also they will have been given the application form. At induction, they will sign the ECWP NYS contract of employment, and then they will also fill out the bank form. This is the form that we use with them to open the account so that we are able to pay them the stipend. This is in general the cost of the program as it stands now. But in terms of the stipend, we pay the youth a stipend of 600 per month during the time when they are on the training. From the time of the induction up until when they finish the training. And then they have been taken to the site, construction site. They are paid $1,000 per month. The program of 12 months. Learners attend training for 5 months and they spend the remaining 7 months in the construction site under the contractor's supervision to acquire practical skills. The induction program takes 2 weeks. As I explained, this is what it entails. The issues about the code of arms, national flag, colors of the public. The orientation week takes a week, and the program is about briefing them about the built environment, the mandate of the Department of Public Works, and what is ECWP program, the role of all the other agencies of the department. after that we give the youth the opportunity to decide whether they want to be part of the program, you know, because we believe that after we have done that orientation, they will have stimulated themselves to understand what it does take to be part of that program. We know that there will be those who think that they don't want to be dirty, and then they will opt to stay outside the program. Our technical training program takes 3 to 4 months. That's where we have been taught the basic skills of the attitude. And then that program is run parallel with the life skills program that is provided by the National Youth Service Unit in Southern Youth Park. Initially, we had identified 175 projects, which were going to give us a figure of 5,780 learners. That is it's a national project. And we have experienced a little bit of a cut on those projects. And we presently standing at 172, which has a potential to give us a target of 5,213 learners. The project per region, this is an indication of all the projects that we have per region. You see that the majority of them are situated at the head office and in Durban. And then when you go down, you realize that some of our offices have very few of the projects. It might also affect the level of the spread that we would have wanted the program to have, but we hope that we will be able to improve on that spread in the next financial year. This is an indication of the progress that we are making per project. You will see that the Edinburgh Magistrate Court, this is one of the initial projects that we have. And we have already been able to take some of the youth who have already completed their electrician program to the site. So they are already located in the site, and they have already started doing the real practical work, working for the contractor and acquiring the practical skills at the site. We're hoping that with all those projects that we have and some of the projects that the recruitment that we will be finalizing at the end of this month, we will already have 2,211 youth on the program at the end of October. This is the progress that we are making at the provincial level. You will see that Eastern Cape, they have recruited 1,000 young people. Those youth will be on the induction program in during this month of October. And they will also be completing the orientation. In Mpumalanga, we have 437 young people who have been recruited. They have completed induction. They have completed orientation. Instead of doing the technical training, because of some of the logistics that were beyond the control of the provincial department and ourselves, we decided that we must take them to the site for 6 months, and then after they completed that training on the site, then they were taken back into the theoretical training. Northern Cape has recruited 507, and they will be starting induction this month. Gauteng, they have recruited 1,000. They will be starting their induction this month and the orientation. Limpopo, they have recruited 500. They are officially launching the program today. Northwest, they have recruited 467. They have already, some of them have already done the induction, and they will be starting with the technical training this month. KwaZulu-Natal, they have recruited 500. They are on an induction course, as we present today. Western Cape, they have recruited 502. 160 of them have completed the induction. The remaining number is on an induction program. And then there's a small number among those who have completed that recruitment who are on the who have been placed on the site, and they will be taken back into the technical training. Free stage, they have recruited 500, and then they will be, they have started with the induction and the orientation program. In terms of the, with regard to the national program, we have a 31 project that we have indicated in two or three slides that we have shown. And out of that 31, 10 are on a technical training program, 13 they are on an induction program, the 4 they have already been placed on the site. We managed the program together with the Department of Labor and the Umsobomvu Fund. We think that with the experience that we have gone through, because initially we have not necessarily committed ourselves into the basic things that we need to do, that are supposed to be done by all the partners. We thinking that it's important that we need to sign service level agreement with all the partners so that we are able to live to the expectation of what the program requires us to do. We have already started with that process, and we're hoping that we will be able to complete the service level agreement before the end of the year 2012, before December. In terms of the brand and the publicity of the program, we believe that it's important that our political principals take a direct responsibility so that they keep on hammering on the point that there's a program that is running so that young people could increase their hope that the conditions in which they find themselves in, there is a possibility that they could be alleviated. We're also making an emphasis that in the areas where we have this project, there must be a clear indication that the NYS program is taking place in those areas. Together with all the branding that the department has developed, we think that it's important that we need to add the element of the National Youth Service exactly in the project that includes the National Youth Service. We, as much as we have been putting people on the training program, we think that it's important that we need to manage the quality of the program that that we are implementing, so that we do not necessarily take young people into a program that will not be recognized by anyone after they have gone through that program. Because the program is new in the department, we are busy with the process of selling the program, even in terms of the systems that we have to manage the program in the department. The direct rate of NYS in the department is small, but it also gives us, on a daily basis, when we go through that experience, it gives us an indication that the challenge of youth is huge. And it might require that we would need to look at the capacity that we have. And I'm happy that the CMC mission has agreed that we need to do a review and look at the capacity that we have so that we can increase it in order for us to be able to deal and respond to the challenges that there are. We're also working on a mechanism to on our coordination with the provinces so that we are able to give a much more clearer and have a much more clearer understanding of what is about is taking place in different provinces. This is what is taking place at national level. Because ultimately, we will have to account on the targets that we have put for the public work in overall in the country. The challenges that we have in the implementation of this program are the challenges with regard to the cut on in terms of in relation to the projects that were initially identified. Secondly, the Department of Labor, in terms of how they approve the applications for training funds. Sometimes they don't respond in the way that they would have required them to respond. They take their time. They respond very late. And that tends to affect the numbers that we have committed ourselves to. As I was saying about the coordination lines between the national office and the provinces, which is one of the issues that we are tending to. There is also an issue about the stipend, that in the provinces, you would find that the stipend is not at the same level with the stipend that has been determined at national level, which at some stage, it creates a bit of instability in how we manage the program, because if you find that the Department of Public Works in Eastern Cape is paying a stipend of 2,000 rand and the National Department is paying 5,000 or 1,000, that in itself creates a problem, because young people will start demand wanting to know why are you paying 1,000 when other people are getting 2,000 rand. It means that the government might have given you the 2,000 rand for your keeping 2,000 rand for yourself. But we are happy that the Interministerial Committee on MIS has emphasized the point that the determination of the stipend must remain consistent so that we don't have those problems. Yeah, I think that is all of the presentation. The last slide is about the recommendations. This recommendation is for the department and the minimum for approval on certain issues that we thought that needed to be addressed as quickly as possible so that we can run the program smoothly. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there any additional questions?
Thank you, Chairperson. I think it's for this presentation for NYS, I've got a few questions. Firstly, this training for the 5 months, everyone paid the food and for the 500, right? This paper is from this Department of Labor. Or which department paid this 500? Because from your presentation, you say this one is Department of Labor sometimes is delayed this fund. So I don't know this process. So you say delay in the DOL process to approve the training fund and appoint the service provider. So I want to know if this payment is sold smoothly or not. Then you say this while the waking is 1,000 per month paid by the construction. Just like you say, sometimes the contractor gets 2,000, but he only pays 1,000. Someone is paid 800, depending to the last time before oversight.
I'm sure
they are busy testing and expert.
Apologies
for that. So we like to know, the last time our oversight, we asking some that is training people. Then after training, they say they haven't got the 1,000. I want to know, this contractor is paid the 1,000 by the project or by the government side, by tender. Because you from this project that you say now, you haven't got you got 122 project with this bring this 5,200 is lena. So this 5,200 is lena. You only finish end of October is about 2,211. Then other 3,000 when you opt your program, where is the end of this program? I want to know. I need this how is they qualified go to the after this training, how they qualified go to the CIPV, which level they will be had, because they will be training 5 months plus 7 months for the waking experience. Thank you.
One would like to ask question around the certification process. In terms of your recruitment strategy, you said that you use the halls and the radio stations. Now, one would like to establish whether, to what extent will you ensure that the kind of condition that is dark is the actual ground area? Because by and large, not everybody that has access to even the right in the rural area, let alone the halls, because many villages do not have halls. So if you talk of halls, you talk of it as a semi-urban area, so to speak, in the rural areas. You need also to even consider the question of reaching out to the country, so that you sort of, or ask the country, what country I think like that, so that you are able to reach the actual rural area. But also, one would like to establish whether you do have some mechanism to deal with the dispute resolution. One would understand the situation whereby it might not have arisen so far, but at the time of the video, this was an ongoing program. You find that now in the second round, certain people in a particular village would complain that they say, so and so will be coordinator, say that so and so were not informed, things like that, because this is about creating opportunities for work at the end, and therefore for someone to favor certain youth at the expense of other youth in a particular area, that might create some animosity, and therefore you need to find a situation as to how would you deal with that scenario. But also, you spoke about the challenge of the Department of Labor in terms of not speeding up the process for the training fund. I just want to establish whether it is not perhaps feasible for you to establish a task team that would look specifically in that area, so that at least the Department of Labor is able to prioritize this. Otherwise, this is not done. Your program is going to lag behind, not because of your fault, but because of the Department of Labor processing mechanism. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other members? Thank you very much for your presentation before your report. I was looking at two issues which we know people are committed to ensure that this program is implemented to the latter one. I thought of asking to visit training center to look at the implementation of this program. I think the social committee is in an oversight of the program. But we will also invite GOS to give us a presentation on how they are dispensing this training center, so that we understand where the bottleneck is for paying this program. And then we will also try to a presentation from the parliament of the because it will not make sense to you, but it just happens. I don't know, maybe there is. There's a reason why it's going to be the allocations that we left to get a briefing. But also, we'll be interested to visit the provincial office to look at what the relationship between the program and provincial coordinators of the program will be one. We try to address issues like what the climate was just saying, to make sure that the program reaches out to as many as possible. After this year, I was making a small mathematical calculation. If you want to have 10,000 people in a period of 1 time a year, but you are only giving 500 memberships to each program, it comes up to 9,000.
these are going to come out. My interest is also to look at a policy reformulation to employ more young people as opposed to the 500. Because if you look at the Millennium Development Goals and what Addis Ababa seeks to achieve by 2014, if we're employing a 500% province, we're not coming any closer to that figure. And public works is the only department in the country to employ more young people. And the other issue is the quality check, where we will not want a situation when we go and do the state fight, we realize that it makes us as a zone learner in terms of the domestic focus. But there's just only members employed by contractors and they need to provide that service. I think that's part of the problem. Yeah. Because by the time we go there, we hope that the department will have made that quality check. Given the fact that it seems like youth program. But one question I wanted to ask, why is the department small? Maybe the DG could say something about it, including the departmental study and the research in terms of the department. Because if it's too small to be able to go to the next study, check, quite check, it will not be able to achieve what it wants. So maybe it would be good more now that we've been there. Thank you very much.
But I'll quickly as a follow-up, which is further going to allow me. Now, in my constituency, I've come across with quite a number of youth that are complaining that after through the SEC College by the Department of Labor was not able to provide a certificate for these learners. And they say that it's about 5-6 months down the line. But not able. So I wanted to check from the side whether we are able also to deal with that problem. Because if the UOP is trained and there are not certificates that are provided by the service provider, you find that at least the UOP is still that the department has told them. And they were complaining, they're very, very angry about that matter. So must have to come across to that and therefore you need to prepare yourself in those kind of challenges.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Let me start dealing with the issue about the number. If you check that word, you realize that the Eastern Cape has committed themselves to recruit 1,000 so that they can cover the other the 500. So you have the 5,000 that's what I get. But again, housing is a housing. So I think it covers us in terms of the number. And as far as the issues that have to do with the recruitment, I think what we said is that we developed posters that we put all over. We don't put them only on the wall, but even any place where we think that is a place where young people have access to those places, we put the poster. Significantly, one of the issues that we are raising, if you look at the allocation of projects in terms of regions, I have alluded to the fact that you will realize that the areas that have more of the projects are the areas that are in the suburbs. And we have very little that has to do with the areas that will cover your rural areas. But I think we, as a department, we're seeking to address that particular question so that we can make the requisite coverage that we want. And we're hoping that in the future, the focus will also go towards the rural areas. Maybe that is caused by the fact that the program itself has the part that is called the rehabilitation and the establishment of a state property. and you would know that the historical problem that in majority of the rural areas we do not necessarily have a lot of state property in those areas. But I think that with the hindsight of the department and also the fact that the mandate of the communities that we're supposed to serve is increased, we would also want to ensure that at some point we are able to cover the areas that are called the rural areas. We don't have a defined mechanism of this route through the issue. Maybe it's true that because the program is still new, we have not necessarily experienced a very high level of discontent among the youth. But it has been one of the issues that we have been having to deal with on daily basis. For instance, when we conduct our recruitment, we find that we're looking for a 100 youth, and then you have something like a 1,000 or 3,000 of young people who respond. But we have been taking that on a positive line, because for us it has been making an indication of the critical challenge that we have there of youth unemployment. And we think that the more they respond in the way that they are responding, the more we are able to feed back into the state system to make an indication about these numbers need to be attended. You would obviously have people who have these concerns in terms of what is that you are going to respond to us? How are you going to respond to us? Are you only going to pick up the handbag? We had that particular situation. But we were able to deal with it as we have indicated that when we do our recruitment, we engage and involve the services of the counselors. We involve the services of different youth formations that are in the community. We engage with them and make them to understand that the project is not the last project that the department is having, or the program itself doesn't necessarily going to end with those that we have absorbed, because the commitment of the department is that we have almost looked at the program that is going to run for a period of three successive financial years. So we're hoping that through that we will also be able to address those who have been left out of the program. We would obviously welcome the visit that the committee will make, the oversight visit. Because we think that also it would also reinforce the view that we have in the department that of ensuring that the young people understand that this kind of a program and these are the kind of the things that we want to achieve through the program. The issue about the BOL presentation, maybe it will also assist us to deal with the bottlenecks that we send to students. But it's also significant for us to indicate that we don't experience those bottlenecks at all areas. There are certain areas of the Department of Labor where we are very extreme those bottlenecks, to the extent that even the kind of the interventions that we try to make don't necessarily assist us in the manner that we want them to assist us. We have made an indication about the exit strategy that we are attempting to provide. The real issue is because we have also come to understand and to know that there are many young people who went through the learnership program. They go through the learnership program, and then when they finish, they go back to where they were. Which means that the knowledge or the skills that they have acquired are not necessarily used so that it also improves their income level. But what the department has committed itself to is to try to implement those strategies that we have defined. And then we would also, because as I was saying that the program is still new, we would continue to do an evaluation of all those things that we have put together and see how much are they able to assist, what kind of improvements do we need to put together to ensure that we really in real time are able to address some of the issues that we want to address.
think just to respond on the issue about trade, I think the question was who's paying in training. I think as we indicated, the training has different stages. When people go through theoretical training, when they're in class, we pay as a department. We budget for that and we pay. But when people are outside, they become the responsibility of the contractor. Even when we advertise the tender and contractors bid, they know that part of the requirement is that they will make use of the young people that will be provided by the program. So that's the training fund about the Department of Labor. It refers to the cost of training, you know, payment of the service provider and all the logistical arrangements, you know, for training. But on the DOL, I think at a national level, I don't think there's any major problem. The problem is at a national level, because they channel their funding through regions. Most of their programs are implemented by their regions. And I think as Fale has indicated, you know, there's uneven performance of regional offices. You find the regional offices that are doing quite well, whereas some regional offices are not doing quite good. The focus of this program, I don't think we are under the illusion that we create artisans overnight. But the idea here is to expose people to the built environment and to provide them with basic skills on the built environment. But the possibility is that some people, they want to proceed with their training, in which case we are partnering with FET. But most of these young people who are involved in this program are people who have dropped out of pay tests, and therefore they are eligible to enter FET colleges. So we provide them in terms of their interest, you know, in pursuing their careers, and then we link up with FET colleges. But again, some would be absorbed into the workshops of the department, as the 10% that was indicated there. For you to work in a workshop, you don't need to be a fully fledged student. You just need to have an idea of how things, you know, get done. But some of them might want to pursue, you know, their interest as entrepreneurs. In which case, through the economic sector of the PWP, would help them. Those who want to set up their contractors will actually help them to do that and lead them into the CICD register. So there will be better streams to which we'll channel people at the end of the program. But again, the program is only started this year. We intend to review as well the training that we provide in order to make sure that we provide training that would enable them, you know, to go through you know, the steps that I've actually indicated. The issue about the CITES, again, the Ministerial Intercommunity has addressed this issue. I think part of the problem is that some of the departments were doing some youth programs even before the NYS. So what they decided to do was to, you know, adopt those programs or, you know, adapt those programs to NYS. Hence, we have different guidelines. But it's a matter that is still addressed at that level. The issue about certification and membership, again, is part of the requirement of the program that people should be issued with certificates at the end of the program. Yeah. I think that's all. Well, we'll definitely appreciate the visit. In fact, this is what we want to encourage. But the visit will also serve to motivate these young people so that they understand that this is not just another program. You know, it's a program with a specific purpose. So we definitely appreciate that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Whilst one appreciated this angle of the publishing, but my memory, if my memory serves me well, Congress Manager, in the workshop sometime last year, the minister spoke about this slogan, South Africa works before public works work. Was attached to the former experience of what used to be called Nongo Hall in the past. people there in the rural area who are working for the Department of Public Works to maintain the roof. There was an idea, like Chris suggested, that it's more now of this urban kind of this implementation other than the rural implementation. So the point that I wanted to take in order to also assist or accommodate the rural people, are you not also contemplating at least looking at those kind of projects in the rural area? Half of Columbus wise, the public works, maintaining its bridges, roads, linking up its villages, linking up Amasim, May Fields, you know, the situation. This is something that is happening. In fact, infrastructure development, that is what also hampers in agricultural development in rural areas. As opposed to, for instance, the farming, the commercial farming situation, after one of farmers, they've got infrastructure that is properly maintained. They've got machines, things like that. Some of the farmers have purchased graders themselves. They are no longer even relying on the Department of Public Works. But I'm just thinking, if in the possible future, I'm not also going to look at that, because I like the idea when we had the workshop, when the minister spoke about this idea.
In fact, this is what we are doing with the bigger ECWC. Of course, I mean, the reality is that the resources are sitting with different municipalities and municipalities, whether those municipalities are in urban or rural. So we have to work with them to design programs of that nature. For instance, with the access roads now, there was an additional allocation on access roads, and most of those access roads are in rural areas. And the funds are allocated through the provincial department. And then the district municipalities and rural municipalities are asked by the provincial department to bid for those resources. And our responsibility is to work with both provinces and municipalities in order to make sure that we have those kind of programs in one area. Again, some of the resources are sitting with the Department of Agriculture at the provincial level. And our responsibility is to, through the ECWP, to work with those departments to identify programs that can be designed in a way that responds to, you know, to job creation in rural and rural communities. So our role as the department really, because resources are not with us, you know, that is various tiers of government. So our role is to really work with those currently, unless, you know, there's, you know, a fundamental alteration in the way resources, you know, are allocated by the federal government.
Thank you very much.
There's a question you asked. One minute to answer that. Madam Chair, of the, as of 1 April 2007, we had about 936 or so vacant positions that we started filling, and we've gone just over 600. And on the 2nd of November, we're going to have our own quota. And at that workshop, we will look at whether or not directorates are overcapacitated, undercapacitated, where are our strategic areas and whether we can reallocate, and that goes for the same unit in terms of your concern. So after the second we will look at that.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
No, but remember,
I'm going to take a photograph.